Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
So do you remember the last loan that you applied for? I mean, if it was a credit card, technically, you know, that's a loan, I guess, unsecured loan, a credit card. Those are pretty easy. In fact, I just got an REI Visa because they had this $100 gift card dealio, and you find out in like 10 seconds if you're approved. So it's pretty easy to do. The going for a car loan, well, that's maybe a little bit more rigorous. They're going to pull your credit and look at it and then look at the different options that are available for you. But again, pretty straightforward and easy. But if you've applied for a mortgage lately, maybe a refinance or buying a home, you know the process is a little bit more detailed. They're going to start with your credit. They're going to look at your income, have you get tax returns or W-2 statements. They're going to pull a title report on the property to make sure there's no liens against it. And that process that you're going through is really called underwriting. So you're always hearing, well, my loan's in underwriting right now. Well, what a lot of people maybe don't quite understand is that there's a correlation between applying for a mortgage and applying for life insurance or for long-term care insurance, because both of those processes require what we call underwriting. And underwriting is simply a common practice that is used by insurance and banks to make loans, insurance companies to offer insurance contracts. And an underwriter is basically going to go through the process of evaluating your information, whether it's the credit or whether it's the health. And then based on their findings, the underwriters are going to help companies determine if they should take on an applicant's contract. So that's the whole process of underwriting. Now, I remember when I got my very first car loan back when I was 15 years old. I had been working at this grocery store for a couple of years. I started when I was 13 there. And, you know, it was one of those dirty words, work. I just loved every minute of it because it gave me so many options. And number one, when I was 15 and a half, my neighbor had a car that he was going to sell, a 1978 Camaro. And I thought, wow, that is the perfect car for me. But I didn't have the $2,500 to buy that car. I had maybe $1,200 or $1,500 saved up at this point in my life. I was, you know, working for $3.10 an hour. So I went to the Rio Grande Savings and Loan, where I had my my savings account there, asked about a car loan, and they kind of, you know, smiled at me and said, well, yeah, let's talk about it. And so they brought me in, and I kind of explained what I wanted to do. And they said, well, because you're, you know, under 18, I can't really make that loan for you unless you can, you know, have your parents come down and co-sign. So my mom said, sure. So she went down and co-signed. But really, it was that simple. The bank just kind of looked at me and they thought it was, you know, they said, well, I've been working at the store for 2 years and this is how much I make and blah, blah, blah. So that's how I got my loan. Today, we've got a lot more procedures basically to go through, a lot more rules and a lot more regulations. For instance, when my parents got their home, the bank just literally said, hey, why don't you come down? We heard you're looking for a house, because my grandma was in talking to her banker. And the bank said, well, we actually had owned this home that we foreclosed on. The people left. So if they want to move in there, we can, you know, sign some paperwork. And that's how my parents got their first mortgage. You can't do that today. You got to verify income, and you got to go through all this, jump through all these hoops to basically get that loan. But when we come down to where we're at today, when I'm applying and borrowing money, they look at my credit history. That is simply just a reflection of how I have paid back loans that I've had in the past. They look at the type of loans you had. Did you have a revolving credit, so a credit card that you can charge up and charge and pay down? Did you have an installment loan? That would be like a car loan, something that I'm going to pay in over 4 years or 3 years or a set period of time. That's an installment loan. And they look at the variations on your credit and see, did you have any 30-day lates or what kind of credit did you have and were you responsible? Well, when we come over to the health side of life insurance or long-term care insurance planning, that underwriting process replaces the credit history with your health history. And I think that you need to understand how important that really is. And there was an old saying when I was in the mortgage business that no credit doesn't mean you have good credit. And the same thing is in the health side of it. If I have not been to the doctor in 10 years or 20 years, and there's a lot of people I know that are like that. My dad was one of those guys. He only went to the doctor if, you know, something was broken or he chopped something off. It was just one of those things. He was just one of those guys. And so it didn't mean that he was healthy. It means he didn't have a health history. And so that's what we're looking at. We're just replacing your credit history when we're applying for a loan for your health history. And I want to spend some time today. I'm going to bring Madeline Lutch, our case manager, in today, and we're going to talk about the importance of health and how that plays in the underwriting process for long-term care planning. And the reason why, we got a great question of the week from Christine down in Phoenix, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. But before we get into that, I want to tell you we've got two classes coming up this month. They're both on our calendar at 525longtermcare.com. The first class is Thursday the 15th at 3 p.m. and the second class is Friday the 23rd at 9 a.m. the following Friday. So we're going to have a late afternoon one and we're going to have an early morning class. Both the classes are the same, but they're just going to allow you to learn about what long-term care is, what it pays for, how you trigger a policy, where does it pay for care, what are the different types of options between asset-based and these new hybrid asset-based and the traditional models. And we're going to just kind of walk you through all of that information and then answer your questions so you'll be in a better position when it comes time for you to start thinking about putting a plan in place. So look for those classes. We got them on our website at 525longtermcare.com. I'm going to head into my first break, but stick around. When we get back, we'll have Madeline Lutch in here, and we'll talk a little bit about the importance of health and how it plays out in the underwriting. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline. And man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital Management and host of Know Your Risk Radio. You know, something we never really talk about on the show, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but is long-term care. And we never talk about it because we don't sell it. We're licensed to, but we don't. You want to know why? Because it's really intricate and complicated, and we're not trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. We want to focus on your investments. That's where we believe that we bring value. For long-term care insurance, which I think is very important, can be a good fit, maybe not right for some people, but if you have questions about long-term care insurance, do what we do, right? You know what we do? We call Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Why? Not because he and I are both on the radio show. We started using Brian, referring it out for our clients, because he knows it inside and out. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You can contact Brian. You can sign up for one of his events. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Take advantage of it. You need long-term care. Brian's the guy to go to.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. In the studio here with me is Madeline Lutch, our case manager.
Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is, I guess. You know,
depends on when you're listening.
Yeah, so for those of you that are new to tuning into Long-Term Care Radio, we're actually on three times Saturday now, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then we are on another station Sunday afternoons at noon. You can find that schedule on our website. But more importantly, you can also get our podcast. You can go to iTunes. You can ask Alexa to play it for you. You can go to our website at 525longtermcare.com, and all that information is there. You can just click on radio show and it'll pull up past episodes, because I know a lot of it, you know, I listen to shows all the time on the radio, and you're running errands or you got to do this or that, you might miss a segment, so you can always go back and listen at your convenience. And one of the things I'm really excited about, we just turned on this last week, is our new website.
Is it's a really great website. It just kind of guides you through our process, which is important, because I think our old website, it was kind of hard to understand that.
Yeah, we've been working on this all summer, and we finally just went live last week. So look for that at 525longtermcare.com. A lot of useful information on there, examples, a lot about our process, which, again, we, you know, our process is pretty simple. Start with education. So that's why we have the webinars. That's why we have the radio show. We have lots of resources on our website that you can pick through. And then we start with the pre-screen form, which we're going to talk a little bit more in detail today, why that's important. And then we go guide you through that application process. But today I want to talk about, you know, health. And here's what happened. We got a question from Christine in Phoenix. So she's been listening on the podcast, and she said, I was turned down in the past for long-term care insurance. Does that mean I can't get a plan now? And boy, there's a lot of people that have been turned down out there.
Yeah.
I mean, statistically, we look at it, 1 in 3 people who apply for long-term care insurance are turned down.
Yeah.
And I stand on my soapbox and say, you know, probably 90% of that could be avoided, because a lot of the people should just have never applied. And so, like in Christine's situation, I ended up talking to her. You know, like so many other people, she was just going through a bout. She was in physical therapy due to an injury. She could have easily gotten a plan if she would have just waited to get out of physical therapy. That was the advisor's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what people need to understand is we start our process with that pre-screen form, which says, tell us about your health. Tell us about the medications you're taking. Kind of explain to the people what you look for on it, because that comes into you.
Yeah, so I mean, it tells us your age, so we know what you can qualify for there. And then for your health, the main thing is, what conditions do you have? I mean, if you don't have any conditions, that's great. Have you been prescribed any medications in the last year or 3 years, even better? But the conditions, a lot of people think, well, I have high blood pressure and I have high cholesterol, but I'm taking medication for it. You're fine then. What they're looking for is stability. So when I get the pre-screen form, I can pretty much determine just from that what plans you're eligible for. If I need to go back to underwriters, maybe it's a complicated condition that I haven't come across, or want to just verify, then I go back. And again, your information that you submit on the pre-screen form is confidential.
Yeah, nobody sees that.
Yeah, exactly. Just me and Brian. But the only reason is so that we can know, as kind of the middleman between the insurance companies, what you can qualify for and guide you to the right plan and the right insurance company, because there's a lot that goes into that.
There's a big variation on the different carriers. And here's what Madeline's really talking about. What you have to understand is that we're going to get that information one way or the other. What so many agents don't do is they don't get that information. They just submit an application. And then the insurance companies, they go out and they get that information. And then, voila, you're turned down. Well,
yeah.
They could have stopped that application in the process. Because what happens is that the insurance companies are going to really look at your health situation in two distinct areas when you apply for long-term care. Number one is going to be your current health. What is your situation today? Rubber stamp it. What medications are you taking? What's going on? If you're in physical therapy, that's a current situation today. Now, that may be over 2 weeks down the road, but right now you're in physical therapy. So they look at your current situation. And then number two, they're going to look at your past health. What have you been treated for in the past? Do you have a history of heart disease? Do you have a history of high blood pressure? How is that manifesting? And they're going to look at all of that information. And you have to be open and honest. Just because you had cancer in the past doesn't mean you're turned down. It just means that every company is going to have guidelines saying, hey, we want you to be clear 2 years. We want you to be clear 3 years, whatever it is. And so that's how important that is on that pre-screen. And then what you were just talking about, the when we gather that information, it also is going to help you determine what the process is that they're most likely going to go through.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Because a lot of people ask, well, am I going to have to go through a physical when I apply for insurance? Mm-hmm. And we'll know from the pre-screen what that process is going to look like. I can kind of prepare you for that and saying, you know, you're really healthy. You're only taking this one medication. Most likely it's going to be a phone interview. And I can keep you updated and just guide you through that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really the insurance companies, there's really three distinct paths that you will go down. Number one, everybody's going to do the application, and then you're going to do a phone interview. So that was the last process I went through when I put my asset-based plan in place. I had to do a phone interview. And it was actually kind of funny because they just keep asking all these questions over and over again. And then one of them was like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, well, actually, I sell long-term care insurance. And the lady laughed because it's a third party. Think of it as the appraiser for your house. It's a third party that insurance company is hired to do these interviews. So phone interview, everybody will do. The second option is they may come back and order what they call the attending physician statement. So a summary of the medical records. And that's going to come directly from the doctor's record keepers to the insurance company.
Exactly. You don't have to get involved in that.
Yeah. And then the last thing that you're really going to see out there is a face-to-face interview. And this is what a lot of people think. Do I have to go through a physical or do I have to go somewhere? No, face-to-face interview. They will send out a healthcare worker. They will come out. They will go through the process. They will gather information. They will maybe get a blood sample. If you've had a history of heart issues, they might require an EKG. Just things like that. That's the face-to-face interview. Sometimes we prefer those because it's easier than chasing down medical records.
Oh, it can be much quicker.
Yeah, but sometimes not always the case. So again, what we do at the beginning, we put so much effort in at the beginning for you, is because what we're saying is if you read like our website, we'll say, you know, step three is we're going to guide you through the application process, and we mean that. Here's how you prepare. You're going to have a phone interview. You're going to have a face-to-face. This is what you're going to do. This is what to expect on the phone interview. And all of that is going to be based off of you filling out that pre-screen form and telling us openly and honestly about your situation, because that's how we can help you.
Exactly. And it's very important that you tell us instead of the insurance company finding out, because I definitely had this a couple months ago where we had gotten all the way to the application process, and then all of a sudden we're filling out this application and these several other medications pop up that weren't on the pre-screen. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, I guess we should probably reveal it before we submit an application. Well, definitely. And it turns out that we couldn't actually submit that application to that company. We had to move them to a different plan.
Yeah, that's a valid point. And I think that something I skipped over there is that every insurance company, regardless of who you apply to, even for life insurance, they're going to pull a prescription drug, or what we call an RX check.
Yep.
And they will know. And so if you have prescription drugs that are active, and you don't tell us about that, the insurance company is going to find out about it. Now, if you told us about it, and we can say, well, you don't take this. This is just in case I have a flare-up like I have. You know, I injured my back a few years ago, and every once in a while I get this flare-up, so that's why I have these muscle relaxants, and the doctor just keeps the prescription open for me, but I don't take any. I haven't taken any in 6 months, whatever it is. All of that helps us, because then we can go in and put that cover letter together and submit that to the insurance company. Now, remember, the insurance companies all look at this data differently, and that's what I think people are surprised at, that, you know, we're going to go get the medical records, and that's going to have a history of your health situation. Now, consequently, there's going to be some variances in the way these companies are going to interpret that information. And so our job is to really paint that picture for the underwriter that, yes, he has diabetes. Yes, it's well managed. He still mountain bikes on a regular basis. He still skis. He's very active, involved with watching his grandkids, whatever it is. We paint that picture for the underwriter because that makes them a human as opposed to just a bunch of data in a file.
Yeah, and we can kind of clean out your red flags. You know, whenever we're going through the application, there's yes and no questions.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone gets kind of nervous. Well, I answered yes to this, or I answered yes to many of these. That's not bad, mm-hmm. as long as we explain it and explain, you know, this is well-maintained, taking this medication since he's been taking this medication for 10 years. You know, that just kind of clears things up. The underwriter looks at it and goes, oh, okay, moving along.
Yeah. And I will tell you that if we look at it statistically and we went back to saying 1 in 3 people who apply get turned down, the long-term care insurance advisors out there run into difficulty for 2 distinct reasons. One is lack of knowledge. A lot of these people, there's tens of thousands of advisors out there that are licensed to sell long-term care insurance, and a lot of them do onesie-twosies, maybe one every once in the, you know, we are creatures of habit. We tend to do what we know. So if we know company A, that's what we're going to promote. I remember a financial advisor at one of these big speaking conventions came up to me and said, oh, I sell long-term care insurance too. And I was like, oh, good for you. And she goes, I only sell Genworth.
I remember that.
I bit my tongue and smiled at her and said, oh, good for you. I've never sold a Genworth policy. You go read their stock minutes and you'll know why. But anyway, my point is it's lack of knowledge. A lot mm-hmm. of advisors are going to run into that situation. Number 2, lack of options. And what I mean by that is if I'm a Genworth captive agent, I can only sell Genworth. If I'm a New York Life captive agent, I only sell New York Life. Or they might have an outlet where I can broker it, but that means I don't know those products. What's unique about us is that we are an independent company. We do not work for the insurance companies. In fact, if you listen to long-term care radio, you listen to it for any period of time, you're going to realize that we don't talk about companies. We don't come out and say, this is a program, this is the best step, because we don't work for them. They're not paying us. They're not paying for the show. We want to come in with a neutral stance because we're on the same side as you saying, look, these are all the companies. These are the 3 I would probably stay away from based on my experience. But out of these 3, you might want to look at these 2 and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to narrow that down. A lot of people will say, well, what's the best company out there? I said, well, the best company is the best company that will approve you for your current situation. So if you're perfectly healthy, then yes, we can go right down to the line and say, okay, here's the best traditional, here's the best asset base. But if you have some health issues, we might have to say, well, this company is a preferred underwriter. They are not going to accept you. However, these 5 companies will accept your application.
Exactly.
And that's that process of what we do that is so important. And I think one of the things that you just touched on, there's a lot of people that it goes both ways. There's a lot of people, like we had a client that had kidney cancer, did not disclose that to us. We found out after we submitted the application. And folks, I will just tell you, that boils my blood because, number one, it puts egg on our face.
Mm-hmm.
We waste our time and our energy. We have some underwriter waste their time and energy. We have some records reporting person waste their time and energy. And to find out you have kidney cancer, and the guy's like, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal because people can live a long time like that.
He thought he could sneak it through.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And so, you know what? Weed him out, and I'll be honest with you, if that stuff pops up on a case for us, we're done. We're not going to dig around. We're not going to try to write letters. We're not going to do anything. You weren't open and honest. But then we also have the other side of the extreme where, well, I'm 65. I think I'm too old. Or I've been taking blood pressure medicine for 4 years, so I don't think I can get approved. It's like, gosh, no, don't ever assume that you can't get approved. Fill that pre-screen out, because that is our job, is to guide you through. And if anything, I think that people are surprised that they can get approved. And there are some things, yes, if you're taking memory medication already, things like that will be an automatic turndown. But that's what that pre-screen does. It stops us from dragging you through that process and through the mud. We're going to say, look, here's the reality of it. We do this for a living. We work with all the carriers. This is what we know.
Well, we bring our experience to the table and say, look, you know, I have dealt with this situation before. Maybe it was a couple of years ago, but I remember how it went.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the company that we should look at and approach it this way.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. So stick around. I'm going to head into our next break here. But when we come back, I've got a client of the week, Mark, who is 71. I'm going to show you how we set up a plan using retirement funds, our number one plan. And then the last segment, I'm going to have Madeline come back in, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you can get prepared for long-term care and what you need to know about the process. So we'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
We know the planning process for long-term care is frustrating and confusing. Our team will take the time to guide you to the right plan. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks again for tuning in. We love doing this show. In fact, we just jumped on another hour on a station on Saturday at 11 in the morning. And again, the whole process of what we do is we say, number one, start with education. And that's personal to me because I got into this business trying to get a plan for my mom. And I got so frustrated because, again, there's tens of thousands of agents out there. What we're finding out is a lot of them do onesie twosies, or they limit to like one or two companies. And we don't dabble in long-term care. This is truly our specialty. So we're going to say start with the education. The best thing you can do, sign up for one of our webinars. It does a couple things for you. It gives you a good 10,000-foot overview of long-term care, what it pays for, how it works, your different options. But it also gives you a chance to see how we work, because it doesn't matter if you pick a plan, company A, and you go out and you buy it, it's all priced the same. Where the experience comes in is, how are you designing that plan? Are you taking advantage of your tax advantages? I mean, are you a business owner? Can you deduct it? So we look at designing a plan for you, number one. And number two, what's the most efficient way to fund that plan? And what I mean by that, is it paying for it over time, like I had last week, where you just set up a nice small estate partnership plan and you make your annual payments or your monthly payments? Or do you do a lump sum, or do you do some kind of combination of that? And every week during the show, the favorite part of the show for me is right now the client of the week, because this is how I show you how I walked through the process with one of our clients and how we settled on what we decided to do and the outcome of that decision. So this week I have Mark, who is 71 years old. Mark is a retired contractor. He was a real estate developer. He is recently widowed. He looked into long-term care. You know, he kind of dabbled in it, but his wife has been really sick. And so he thought, you know, I just need to get all this settled out. And his wife passed away, and he came back. He said, look, I lived through this with my wife. I watched my family. I want to do something about this now. He's got three adult children. He's got seven grandchildren, which he's very proud of. And I'll be honest with you, Mark is living comfortably. He has a Social Security. He has his rental income from his business, from his real estate business, and he's quite comfortable. However, he's also 71, and so we started this program for him last year. So he actually was facing required minimum distributions. He has a small IRA. Like a lot of business owners, his wealth is not necessarily tied up in IRAs or 401ks. He made contributions over time, but his main wealth is in fixed assets, which are land and some income-producing properties. And so that's what he has built over time. So his biggest concern, quite frankly, was just the fact that, hey, how I'm doing my estate planning, how do I make this work? Because I want to leave these assets to the family. I want to take advantage of the tax code, meaning I want to get the step-up in basis on the real estate and all of these things. And one thing that would undo that is if he ends up in a long-term care situation and now his costs are more than the income that he is bringing in, then what happens? Well, he doesn't have a choice. He's got to convert one of those assets to income, and he's got to pay the taxes, the tax consequences. And I think a lot of people don't realize this. If I go out and sell a piece of real estate and I pay the capital gains tax, I also have income, excess income that year, which is going to push up my cost of Medicare, maybe puts me in the Obama tax bracket where I got to pay another couple percent on taxes to the Obama tax. And there's all kinds of issues that you have to be aware of. It's a snowballing effect because, you know, I tell everybody, assets do not pay for long-term care. Income pays for long-term care. Let me repeat that, because a lot of people say, well, I've got $5 million of assets. I'm in good shape. Well, how are your assets structured? Unless it's money in the, you know, in a coffee can in the backyard, there's going to be some kind of tax consequence, whether it's interest you're earning on a savings account, which is pretty much zero right now, or it's capital gains tax when you sell something, a stock that you've held for a long time, or an asset like real estate, or if it's an IRA, you got to pay income tax on that money you pull it out. So there's always going to be tax consequences when you convert assets to income. So that's the idea of having a long-term care plan, is now that we have a dedicated source of money that is tax-free to pay for that care when we need it, and we don't have to worry about liquidating assets and paying those excess taxes that we wouldn't be paying otherwise. And that's really what Mark is worried about. So what we did is we sat down and we looked at Mark's situation. And Mark, again, he was faced with required minimum distribution. So this is the amount that you have to take out of retirement accounts. It used to be the year you turned 70 and a half, you had to start taking out the money. 70 and a half was the cutoff at the age. Now they've bumped that up with the Secure Act to 72. The difference is, what the Secure Act said is like, yeah, you don't have to take RMDs till you're 72, but now when you die and you leave money to a non-spouse, so a kid or somebody else, they've got to drain that IRA money out within 10 years and pay the taxes on it. They cannot spread that out over their lifetime. So that was really the money grab. But anyway, Mark has got, again, he's got all the real estate. He's got some income producing property. He has a lot of raw land. He wants to hang on to that. He wants to be able to pass that on. He's trying to do some estate planning. His goal is really is with the property that he has, it appreciates, then his kids can get the step up in basis and he can be paying for college for his grandkids and all those things. He wants to do those kind of things. However, all he has left right now in this IRA, he had a small IRA of $287,000. And again, he's got to take out required minimum distributions. He doesn't really need the money. So he said, can I use that money? He had actually heard one of these client of the weeks. He had heard this from the class. Again, this is one of our most popular plans. And I said, absolutely, Mark, and let's look at what we can do for you and how this plan works. So remember, if I go and I take $287,000 out of my IRA, technically, to buy anything, I've got to count that as income and pay tax on it this year. when we're funding a long-term care plan with it, we have an asset-based company that will actually set up an IRA in the background. So just think of that as a savings account. And what they're going to do is they're going to fund the long-term care plan over 10 years. So technically on the books, Mark has a 10-pay long-term care plan that he funded with one single deposit. Now, why would he do that instead of just make the 10 payments himself? Well, because he gets a bonus. What happens is the company says, look, we will give you a 20% bonus, meaning that that $287,000 will buy 20% more long-term care insurance by giving us that money up front. So what happens is they do a rollover. So they roll that money over from one IRA into an IRA in the background in the insurance company, and then they fund the insurance plan over 10 years. Now, what Mark gets right out of the gate is he gets a long-term care benefit that's going to pay him $9,584 a month for an unlimited amount of time. So that's a lifetime benefit. That starts day one. He has that coverage. Now, he also has a death benefit on that plan. If he goes out and dies, the death benefit's going to be paid back. The death benefit on the plan is $319,000. Now, remember, he only put $287 in, so that's the advantage of this plan. The $287 goes in, he's guaranteed to get $319,000 back, whether he uses long-term care or not. If he uses $100,000 of long-term care, the estate still gets $219 back. But when that money is paid back to the estate, it's paid back tax-free. It's not retirement accounts. It's tax-free death benefit. So anyway, he's guaranteed to get more money back than he puts into the plan. So he's really just repositioning this asset from one pocket into another pocket, and he's going to put a bunch of features on this. Now, what we got it for was the long-term care benefit. He's got $115,000 for an unlimited amount of time. He also has $19,000 to pay for caregiver training. He has $19,000 to pay for medical equipment and home improvements. That could be a wheelchair ramp, a stair lift, grab handles. And it also has the concierge care service, which means that if he goes on claim, he is assigned a healthcare professional from the company that will help him and his family arrange everything, the case management, the care coordination. They'll get the plan of care from the doctor. They will do all of that stuff. So this is a comprehensive, beautiful plan. In fact, this is the same plan that I have for myself and my wife. Now, again, what's nice about this is that he's guaranteed to get more money than he put back into this plan, but there's actually a little bit more of a bonus on here. Remember, I was saying that he could go out and just buy this plan on his own. So if he went out and just bought the plan over 10 years, he would write a check for 10 payments of $34,000. So he would put a total of $340,000 into the plan. But if you were doing that on a 10 pay and you went out and you died year one, you'd still get the death benefit. If you died year two, you'd still get the death benefit. If you went on claim at year three, then guess what? You would actually stop making those payments because it would have a waiver of premium. So that sounds pretty good. So you're saying, why would he just do a lump sum at 287? Well, because he doesn't lose any of those features. Remember that 287 went into, just think of it as a savings account in the background with the insurance company. If he dies at the end of year one, remember the death benefit on this plan was $319,000. He'll actually get $574,000 paid out to the estate. Again, tax-free. If he dies in year five, he's going to get $443,000 because remember, the company took his $287,000, they put it in a savings account, so to speak, and they're pulling out $34,000 every year over 10 years to pay for that long-term care plan. But if he goes on claim, the plan has a waiver premium. So that $34,000 they pull out is going to be paid back to him, and he's going to get his long-term care benefit of $115,000 a year as well. If he dies, guess what? The death benefit kicks in. He's going to get that full death benefit plus what's left in the IRA. And they gave him a 20% bonus, so that's why there's more money in there. It's going to be a higher death benefit for the first 8 years of this contract. So I know this is a lot to take in, and I always say this on the radio, don't get hooked up on the numbers. What you have to understand for Mark is he repositioned an IRA account that he has to pull money out of. He's going to get a 1099-R every year because they're pulling out the $34,000 to pay into this plan. and he is guaranteed to get more money back than he put into the plan, regardless of the situation, whether he ends up in long-term care or he doesn't, or even if he only uses a little bit of long-term care. Because, again, the death benefit at 319, that says, hey, you get that much back. If you only take $100,000 of that for long-term care, the difference, the 219, is paid back. So, again, just a wonderful, wonderful plan. Again, we're repositioning an asset, and this is what is so wonderful about these asset-based plans. Mark is not doing any work. He's not doing any paperwork. All of the paperwork is done on the back end. He gets a 1099-R, which accounts for all his required minimum distributions. And hopefully, Mark lives a nice, long life, and he never uses the long-term care. Guess what? That IRA, that $287,000 that he's having to whittle down and pay taxes on at the end of those 10 years, it's all been taxed. He has paid all the tax on that. And guess what? The death benefit goes back to the estate tax-free. So I just love this plan. And more importantly, he knows, regardless of what happens, whether it's a cognitive situation or multiple strokes, whether he's on long-term care for 5 years or 10 years, he gets $115,000 tax-free for the rest of his life. He will never run out of that benefit. So just a wonderful plan. So, hey, stick around. I got a little bit more long-term care. We're going to bring Madeline Lutch back, and we're going to just talk a little bit about what you need to do to prepare and go through the process. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline. And, man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital Management and host of Know Your Risk Radio. You know, something we never really talk about on the show, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but is long-term care. And we never talk about it because we don't sell it. We're licensed to, but we don't. You want to know why? Because it's really intricate and complicated, and we're not trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. We want to focus on your investments. That's where we believe that we bring value. For long-term care insurance, which I think is very important, can be a good fit, maybe not right for some people, but if you have questions about long-term care insurance, do what we do, right? You know what we do? We call Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Why? Not because he and I are both on the radio show. We started using Brian, referring it out for our clients, because he knows it inside and out. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You can contact Brian. You can sign up for one of his events. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Take advantage of it. You need long-term care. Brian's the guy to go to.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. Madeline Lutch has joined us back again. Hello there.
Hello.
She was out doing push-ups and eating chicken or something. I don't know what was going on over there. So
the push-ups part, yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, we were talking earlier in the show, if you just joined us, we were talking really about, you know, how your health is really your credit, so to speak, when it comes to long-term care planning. You've got to qualify. Your health is important. And what I wanted to do is spend a little bit of time here at the end of the show just talking about some of maybe the little things that our clients should understand when they're preparing for a long-term care application, and then maybe if we have time, we'll get into the process itself of the application and what you go through when you're applying for these companies. And it will, like I say, it'll vary with different companies. But let's start off. We were talking about the pre-screen earlier. So the pre-screen just says, hey, fill out the pre-screen, tell us about your current health situation, tell us about your past health situation, because that's what they look at is your current situation, what's going on today, what's been going on in the past. And then kind of explain from there a little bit about that process and what people need to do to prepare to get to that application process.
Yeah. So, I mean, the pre-screen is kind of what I'd say 25% of the application. So people think, well, I've already filled out the pre-screen form. I've pretty much filled out the application. Well, then when we go into the application, I think people realize their health can go a little bit more in depth than what they thought on the pre-screen. And mm-hmm. we've even ran into this a little bit this week in terms of people going, oh, well, you know, I actually had an MRI.
Yeah.
Last year, and I didn't even think about it. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was just right. because of this. Well, that's something really important to mention to me so that I can prepare that on the application in the best light possible.
Let's talk about that point for a second, because again, a lot of people look at it like right now I'm fine, I don't have any problems. And that's what we're saying. Really, when we apply for long-term care insurance, we need to know about your past as well, too, because yeah. that's going to be in your medical record. You say, oh, what I have an MRI for? I was like, oh, well, I had a sore back and I went in and did this. Well, they're going to see that. And if we don't know that going in, then what happens is what? The underwriters are going to say, well, we're going to need some more information. And then they're going to start going down the medical record chase.
Yeah, because they just have to do their due diligence and see what the doctor wrote as kind of the notes in the follow-up or mm-hmm. assessment of those results. So they're going to want to see those results. But I get it. It's hard. When I ask people, you know, hey, what have you seen the doctor for in the last year? And then what specialists have you seen in the last mm-hmm. 3 years? They're like, gosh, I can't remember that. You know, it's kind of hard. So, you know, a lot of people go back through their My Chart. A lot of people have My Chart these days. Or they even go back through their calendar and just kind of remember what they have seen a doctor for in the last year to 3 years. It's very important. So having that information prepared before the application is huge.
Yeah, so just really think back when we say, what's your health situation been like? Kind of go back. What have I been to the doctor for? What have I called the doctor for? Even some of these online things. Now, I don't think people realize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That information is in your medical record. Say, oh, I contacted the doctor because I had a sty not too long ago, and I used one of those telethings and held my phone up to my eye and showed the guy, mm-hmm. and he's like, you know, it looked like I've been stung by a bee or something. And it was like, yeah, it was just a sty, and it'll go away, blah, 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 blah. So just let us know that information. So again, yeah, be prepared. Know kind of what's been going on in the last, you know, what do you say? You look back 3 years, 5 years?
Usually 3 years, yeah. Okay. Anything, especially because that's usually how long they do the RX check for. And that's another good thing to remember. A lot of people, especially when we have it on the pre-screen, they say, well, I'm going to put down the medications that I'm currently taking. Mm-hmm. Well, some people are prescribed medications or have been prescribed in the last year or 2 years, a medication that they're no longer taking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also important for us to know. Even when we go into the application, we do want to reveal that to the insurance company and say, look, yes, this will show up on the RX record, but it was only for this period of time. Here's why they're not taking it anymore. It's only on an as-needed basis, and they haven't
yeah.
needed it.
So an example of that, which I was talking to a lady this week, and so she has an EpiPen mm-hmm. prescribed to her, and she hasn't used it in years, but she keeps one up to date, and when that goes out, she gets a new one because she's, you know, worried about getting stung by a bee. You know,
yeah.
she spends a lot of time outside, so in that case, we would say, look, it's not that you know, we're afraid that there's a health issue. It's just that I spend a lot of time out hiking and being outside in activity. And if I do get stung with a bee, I tend to have a negative reaction to that. So I have an EpiPen. My doctor prescribed that to me. So it's little things like that. It really helps us. So, yes, be prepared. Let us know what you have. Know what you've been prescribed. A lot of people are prescribed things that they don't take, for like nausea, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, but if you don't tell us about it and then it pops up, then it's like, okay, now we got some tough explaining to do. It's just better to tell the the underwriters up front, because they're going to look and say, oh, yeah, by the way, they have a prescription for nausea medication when they travel. They tend to, like, you know, get a little seasick flying or whatever it is. Just let us know, and we'll put that in the cover letter as well. So preparing for that application, let's talk a little bit about the application process itself. So we're going to get that application. We're going to get it submitted. And again, everybody's going to get that Rx check, and then everybody's going to have a phone interview.
Yeah, usually. I mean, I'll let you know, again, when we're going through the pre-screen, we'll know what the underwriting process is going to look like, because really we can start with the two intersections that it's going to go down when we take the application. It could be a streamlined underwriting process, which I think Brian might have mentioned earlier in the show. Streamlined underwriting means that we are going to take, means that you're probably not taking any medications. You're incredibly healthy. You go to the doctor for an annual physical once a year.
Yeah.
No big deal. Or even you go to the doctor, but you also had a skin check. Some minor stuff like that. Then you're going to probably qualify for streamlined underwriting.
And
which means
a short phone interview.
Yeah. And then nothing else. Unless something on the phone interview comes up that alarms them and makes them need to go back to get medical records or something like that.
Let's go down that rabbit hole for a second, because we've had this multiple times. A lot of people, like I'll tell people on the phone, you know, Madeline is going to guide you through what you need to know on the phone interview, and you have to, stick to the script. You know, if you're if you're a chatty Cathy, so to speak, a lot of people feel like when they say, "Are you, you're not taking any prescription drugs?" No. Well, then they'll get on the phone. They'll be like, "Well, I take vitamin D. I do this. I do this. I do this." And it turns out it's like, "Whoa, reel that in," because what happens is those people have to write all that stuff down the phone interview, and then the underwriter is going to look at that and say, "Oh my gosh, they're taking 27 different supplements. They're self-medicating." So then they're going to dig in a little bit deeper, where it just blew out the easy underwriting. It's not meaning that you're going to get turned down. It just means that, oh, well, now we got to go get medical records to see that if we've had any tests for low vitamin D or this, that, or the other thing. They just want to see what's in the medical records. So we always talk about that. When you apply, you're going to do that phone interview. Well, that phone interview is just stick to the script. Answer the questions, yes, no, be open and honest with them, but don't embellish and don't go on and talk about...
And offer up other information that you don't need to.
Yeah, about trying to do the double backflip into the pool on your kid's mountain bike and wrecking your back, but you think you're okay now and all that kind of stuff. We don't need to know. We need to know what's in your medical records, what you're being serviced for, and what we go there.
Yeah. And then the other turn that you can take at the Y is, and this is more common because most of the time we have people taking a couple medications and or they've been in the hospital in the last 3 years. We just had that client that had fallen and hurt her knee, but it was just because of a bike accident. So we submit them on the non-streamlined underwriting, but you're still going through a pretty quick process. Basically, we submit the application, and then usually within 2 to 3 days, I know what the underwriting requirements are going to be. Usually, it's going to be just a phone interview and medical records.
Yeah. And truthfully, there's not a whole lot for you to do once you're in that. So that's what we say. We're going to guide you through that process. You can find out a lot more information on our website. Again, we've got a brand new website up now at 525longtermcare.com. It'll walk you through that process. How do you get the pre-screen into us, how we guide you through that process and everything there. So thanks again for tuning in this weekend for us. We will be back next week.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.